All right, we're here.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise him. Yes, it is still Wednesday, and we want to officially welcome you to Wednesday Warriors. We have a few people here, despite Thanksgiving. We have a few people still, you know, diehard in the house here in Tulsa, and I think I have a few diehards there right on Periscope ready for me. Thank you, thank you. I'm glad that you're taking a turkey break or preparation break to come and join me for this edition of Wednesday Warriors, where we're studying Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum, written by the one and only Dr. Paula Price, yes? So we've been on a journey together for a while now. It's hard to believe. I'm not sure when did we start actually periscoping. Do you remember? About a year, maybe, has it been?
Next April.
9 months, I'm hearing, 9 months. So you guys, we have been together for 9 months on this journey. Can you believe it's been that long? It seems like it's going so quickly, right? But, all right, and we are still 9 months in chapter six. But today, I promise you, we're going to get out of it. And here's why. Dr. Price keeps starting so much trouble. It's her fault. I blame her every week. Are you listening, Dr. Paula Price? I blame you every week for why we cannot move quickly through this book. You know why? Because it's replete with so much information and revelation that you need to understand. Okay? This is not a fast meal. This is courses. Okay, we had course one, course two, course three, okay, and we're finally wrapping up with dessert, talking about God's elect. Yes, that's you and me. If you're watching, we're talking about God's elect, amen? Yes, all right, and who we are. That's what this is about. It's about getting the identity that shapes who you are. You cannot live out your Christianity beyond your identity and your understanding of who you are as a Christian. Okay, your knowledge of God and your knowledge of who he's making you. It's enough, you know, it's one thing I should say to have this very big and austere belief about God. Ah, the Lord in the heavens. And it's so distant and almost impersonal, right? God is out there and we are just, you know, so thankful as little humans to be able to worship him here. That's one thing to have the knowledge of who God is and his nature and character. But it's another thing to know who he is in you and what he's making out of you. See, Christianity is not about just identifying who God is in his heavenly place, but it's about producing who you are in him. He did this to have what? Offspring. If he wanted to just be by himself, he could have just been by himself, right? But he didn't do this to just do that. He did this to be offspring. He wanted a replica. He said, let us make man in our image and likeness. So he wanted something after himself. It wasn't just about the magnitude of his greatness. It was about what he could produce outside of himself. Yeah. Oh, come on. So Christianity is not about just God, the person. Christianity is about God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why we started this thing, because he wanted to produce himself in you. He wanted to replicate himself in you. That's why we have Christianity. Okay? Christianity is about God reproducing himself in you. He knows who he is in heaven. Okay? I know who I am seated in heavenly places, the Alpha and the Omega, the sovereign God. But it's about you knowing who you are as an offspring, knowing who you are as Christ in this world. Ooh. Isn't that the first thing we were taught by Dr. Paula Price? As he is, so are we in this world. It's about you being Christ in this world, replicating him here. Because he already is the king of glory there. No one's doubting God's character or ways, and everybody who did is gone. Everybody who doubted his character, everybody who doubted his authority, everybody who questioned him is gone. They're out of the way. Yes. And it's our job as Christ on earth here, Christ in the flesh here, to make them obedient to that authority. Oh, see, that's what we do as Christ here. Yes, bringing him subject. Oh, come on in the place. Oh, this is worth a turkey break. Yes, it's worth a turkey break. You can tell somebody, go on and put that cornbread down for a moment and come check out Before the Garden. Okay? All right, put that going and put them greens on Simba. Hey, come out and check out Before the Garden. Come on here. We know about that. Ha! Well, Bob Lassie says you can just set it up in your kitchen while you're going ahead and making that mac and cheese. Come on here. While you're doing that grading, you can come on and catch a little bit of Jesus and praise him a little bit. How about just take a little pause to be thankful for Christ in you? Oh, come on. There's something to be thankful for on this day because this man decided to replicate himself in us, to never leave us or forsake us, to not abandon us, not only come and just save our souls, but make us like him. Oh, come on in here. It's one thing for someone to help you, but it's another thing for someone to make you their equal.
Right.
Oh, come on. We can come on. This is the season to be thankful, right? Every holiday season, what do? We go out and give to people who are less fortunate. We got toys for tots. We got angel trees. We have go out and give people things on Thanksgiving, don't we? So we're always doing things to show ourselves, okay, grateful by helping the less fortunate. But, you know, dropping off a meal and changing a life are two different things. See, Jesus could have dropped off a meal. We could have stood in Jesus' soup kitchen line and just got a little help from him. He could have stopped at the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, couldn't he, ask? He could have stopped at just healing your body and just moving on. But he did not stop at just those things. He went all the way through, shedding his own blood, giving up his own life that we might be equal with God. Oh, come on. Anybody excited to hear? I don't know if anybody's excited to hear. He could have made this a mission trip. But it wasn't. Earth wasn't his mission trip. He didn't just come here to give you a little taste of some clothes and a coat and some gloves and some shoes and build your little hut again. Come on in here. That's not what Jesus came to do. But he came, he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. God didn't just give you a handout. He gave you equality in heaven. Oh, come on in here. It wasn't about the walking on the water. It wasn't about opening the blind eyes. It wasn't just about casting out the devils. It wasn't just about those things, raising the dead. And those were all powerful things. But those were signs and indicators that he gave us because the objective was to make you equal with God. Which is why when he left, when he said, greater works shall you do. And then he said, these signs shall follow all those who believe. We are going to tread upon scorpions. Oh, come on in here. That we were going to heal the sick and raise the dead. That those would be signs of our faith in him. Oh, come on. He didn't just give us bread. He said, man can't live by bread alone. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, he made you equal with God. Oh, come on. Is that something to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving? You could be trapped living like a mere mortal. You could be trapped living in just your humanity and your flesh. Now, that's something you choose to do. But it's not all that you have access to. Now, if you want to live beneath your divine privileges, that is your choice. But understand, he did not come to give you a coat and some gloves. He came to make you equal with God. Not a plate, not a meal, not even just a changed life, a changed being.
Yeah.
He changed your being to make you equal with God. He gave you divine DNA. Oh, okay. You don't believe it? Peter said that we will be the first partakers of the divine nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Come on, Paul, offspring of God, not after gold and silver. Identity. You cannot live your Christianity beyond your understanding of your identity. We have been gambling and trading off and trading down because we don't understand our identity and what privilege we've been given in Jesus Christ. He did not come to get you born again. He did not come to send you to church services. He did not come to give you just a Bible to read. He did not come to give you bedtime stories. This man came to make you equal with God. Equal, not just equality. We're learning here in the United States is the difference between equality and equal.
Mm-hmm.
Because equal means sameness. equality and say amen. So I can have the same car as Prophet Ashley, but I'm not, that doesn't make me equal to her and who she is as a being. Oh, okay. Nobody heard that, huh? Come on in the place. So I can have the same thing as you, but it doesn't make me you. Equal means that same. You are that. Equality means same as. Jesus didn't stop at giving us the same as. You don't have the same as the angel. You are the angel. He said we will be like the angel. There will be no marriage. There will be no giving in marriage, but you will be like the angel. Like the angel. Not having the same as the angel. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know how we started here already, didn't we? Come on in the place. But it's the reality. See, we keep living as Christians trying to be as instead of like. The likeness. Taking on our likeness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, I want to have the same thing as God. I want to love as he loves. I want to walk as he walked. I want to care as, no. Be like. Be the same. Go after equal, not equality. He said equal with God. Oh, come on in the place. See, and because we're not adopting that equal mentality,
yeah,
we're settling for just as.
Right.
Well, I want to be able to heal as Jesus healed. No, you're going to heal like Jesus because you are him. He's not giving us a dumbed-down measure of himself. Oh, come on. He elevated us past that station of being a little lower than the angels. See, our elevation and our stature was about bringing us back into that place of equal with those angels. He had to vet us for equal. Oh, okay. He had to vet us. What did John say? What did the angel say to John? But we are your fellow brethren and servants of the prophets. We are your brothers. He recognized that after Jesus Christ did the deal, that the process of returning us back to our original state, the intended objective for us to be seated in heavenly places, a part of the General Assembly, a part of the innumerable company of angels, a part of the Church of the Firstborn, a part of the New Jerusalem, had just commenced. John, now understand. Because of what's been bestowed upon you in this act of redemption, you are like us. What if Paul said, stop living your life like a mere mortal? Because we're not mere mortals anymore. He understood that the objective in the end was God was restocking and replenishing the heavens with the righteous, the holy angels, the elect. Oh, that's what we are in the place, aren't we? That's what chapter 6, as we're wrapping it down, that's what chapter 6 was all about, helping us understand that, the predestination, our life in motion, and the afterlife. Here, I'm sorry, this was just a little too close for me. Is that all right, y'all? I know make a good picture, but come on here. You know, I like to be handy. All right, so understand that is what it's about. That is what it's about. And we're forgetting what the objective is, that God was redeeming heaven.
Yeah.
He was redeeming heaven. Earth was his place, right? It was his satellite place of vetting those who would be qualified to go back to the first estate. Human, our spirit and flesh. Can't forget that. So before we put you back with the angelic, we want to make sure that you qualify for our world. And if you don't adopt the mentality now of being equal, when you get there, oh, come on here. When you get there, you will have a hard time because they're already living like this. They're not waiting for us. They're already living like this. Oh, come on. What do you think it means? He said we're going to join the heavenly host. What's in the heavenly host? Does anybody else? Only Dr. Price, I think, ask these questions. That's why you haven't got answers. Who is the heavenly host? Have you ever asked that question? If I'm joining the heavenly host, what is that?
Yeah.
And Jesus came to tell us, give us hints and secrets in those parables, those secrets to those answers and those mysteries. Why did he tell us full out? Because he did not want that information falling into the hands of those that would not believe or his enemies. That's why he talked in parables. That's why he wants you to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the vetting. You're not going to get information about the kingdom of God and about his world outside of his Holy Spirit. That's why these people who believe that they can get Christian information from other religions are deceived. There's only one Spirit of truth and one Spirit connected to Jesus Christ, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because that's who we're tracking. We're not, this Bible ain't about tracking, and the continuum's not about tracking 1,000 deities. Although they're all in the same story, they're not all connected to the Most High. Because
yeah.
I told you guys that before. Every religion is telling the same story. We're all in the same show. Now, they don't know that, but everybody's just playing their role. But we're all in the same show. Oh, my gosh, how many characters are in your favorite TV show? And they all have different roles and functions. Not all of them are the protagonists trying to make something happen. Some of them are the antagonists.
Yeah.
Deliberately getting in the way to frustrate the purpose and frustrate the cause and frustrate the outcome. God said something phenomenal to me one morning when I woke up thinking about all of the divisions among things. First of all, Dr. Price, we ain't going to hallelujah for the most amazing summit we've ever had. I just want to thank Dr. Paula Ann Price for giving us the most amazing summit we have ever had. My God, we can do it. Thank you, Jesus. She took us into a whole, amen, took us into a whole nother place. If you weren't there, my God, did you miss something? We talk about the powers of the age to come. We got a taste of some great and amazing things at this event. But she talked to us how, you know, God gave religion to the earth to be a part of the sifting and the dividing line for heaven. We don't realize that the reason why other religions, we talked about this based on 1 Thessalonians, right, that God will give you a strong delusion when you choose to believe a lie. Okay? That the reason why these other religions and things exist is so that you do not find the true and living God unless you are so appointed. Oh, okay. Did we just start trouble? Nikki, why are you looking at me like that? Did we just start trouble?
No, it's not trouble. It's true. And I'm
just
trying to wrap my mind.
Your head around it. Anybody else wrapping their head around that? But we don't realize that darkness is cloud cover for light. When God doesn't want to be seen, he shrouds himself. Psalm says it. God will hide himself. He will use darkness to keep you off his scent if he feels like you exist to hurt him. Oh, what happened? Thank you. She said smoke screen. These religions, other religions, are designed to be smoke screen, purposely to sift, to sort, to all of those things, delude, deceive, etc. Because their job is to keep you from finding the true and living God if you are not so called or appointed. Jesus was so swift and so slick not ever telling anybody he was God. Because you know how he wanted them to find out? By the Holy Ghost, John 17. He said, but what did he say? But flesh and blood. He said to Peter, right? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. That's the way he wanted to find out who it was appointed to him. He found out the elect, or who God elected, by their ability to recognize who he was. Because he knew then that they were working with and walking in the self-same spirit. If you could find me, then it was so appointed for you. John 5 says that Jesus Christ chooses to reveal the Father to whom he will. This is not a free-for-all like we've been taught. God is not easy street. He's not that easy access person. He has safeguards because he already was attacked by his own people. Come on, we can't forget how this thing started and why he has to have certain things in place. He was already attacked by his own citizens. And, we don't think about it like that because to us, heaven ain't real and God's not a person. But this man was attacked by his own citizenry that turned on him and turned on the other citizens. So he put fail-safe in place to ensure the safety of creation. Oh, come on. Because we don't think that God is trying to save. Come on, he said he's a savior. He put some things in place for the safety of creation. And part of the separating, I told you that earth was about existing what? Sift, sort, separate. That's why we are on this planet. And I'll talk to you. We'll go there for just a moment. Y'all want to go there? We have some things. All right. Y'all all right if I skip sorts? All right. Tamir just going to roll with me. We talked about our favorite quote, the devil's job is to find the rebel in all of us. Praise the Lord. God uses the human experience to vet his elect. God uses the earth to sift, sort, and separate. God's elect is predetermined before the foundation and must confirm their appointment. As the elect, you are predetermined, but you must confirm your appointment. Okay, it says here in Matthew 10, 34 through 36, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. Did God not experience that first? His enemies were of his own household. Lucifer turned on him in heaven. He didn't have a trip to hell, get some time release card, okay, and then go out and destroy. No, he did that as a citizen, a card-carrying citizen, a high-ranking citizen, an official of the kingdom of heaven. So this scripture is letting you know earth is about what? Sifting, sorting, and separating. So the first thing he told you is that I'm going to be a sword of division because I'm here to separate what's mine. Why does he say a man against his father, a daughter against his mother? Because in the same household, you have one who will choose to believe and the other who will not. You have wheat and tares in the same house.
Yeah.
In the same genetic line. We saw that first where? With Cain and Abel. Cain, we learned from John, was of the wicked one. Abel, we learned from Jesus Christ, was his first prophet. So those are the things that God is coming, letting you know that we're here to separate out what belongs to us. Remember our example, we talked about God putting spirits in flesh, the next round of spirits in flesh, before he integrates them back into the population of heaven. And we gave the example of the Virgin Islands. Who remembers our Virgin Island experience? All right, my crew in here remembers the Virgin. How we said that if America wanted to say we, you know, had a terrorist attack that was worse than what we already experienced, God forbid, in Jesus' name. However, if that were to happen, okay, and we decided from that point forward that no other citizens or immigrants will be able to come into this country unless they're first vetted somewhere else. And we said that we would send all potential candidates for citizens of the United States to the Virgin Islands since it's our territory. Now, you know this is a parable I'm talking now, right? This ain't reality, it's a parable. Tell somebody it's a parable. This ain't in the news. Or go to USA Today and email me and say, what you talking about? Okay, here's our parabolic example that we would send all of our potential immigrants to the Virgin Islands first and vet them there to determine what type of citizen they would be before integrating them into the United States. That's what Jesus Christ is doing to us here. The earth is his footstool. It's still his territory. It's a satellite of heaven, but he's using it to determine who would qualify to be a part of his citizenship. And in doing so, he has to sift and sort and separate what belongs to him and what wants to serve the enemy or be the type of citizen the enemy was. Who are the rebels? That's why he never got rid of the devil. The devil's job is to find the rebels. Okay, so he will know ahead of time what. So that means that your father could be a rebel. Your daughter-in-law could be a rebel. Your mother-in-law could be a rebel, which is why the enemies will be of your own household, which is why Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my father? Those that do the will of God, because your own family, your own blood can be both wheat and tares. Your own genetic tree can be both wheat and tares. And Jesus' job is to come to separate. That's why he said, I came to bring a sword. He's not here to create chaos on planet Earth as much as he's here to separate what belongs to him, the elect, from what belongs to the enemy or wants to live like the devil. You know, we say that phrase, you want to live like the devil. Some people want to live like the devil. They have no interest in Jesus Christ or God. And that what is the son of perdition? Let me tell you something. You can preach the gospel to them all day long, fast and pray for 95,000 years. But a tear is a tear. Cain stood in God's face and could not repent. So for those who think that the Spirit of the Lord can just overcome you at the altar and overcome your neighbor at the altar and make them want to bow down and serve Jesus Christ, get rid of the notion. Lucifer walked out of his face and Cain couldn't repent, and God's talking to him. So this whole notion that somehow the Spirit of the Lord will just overtake you, that's witchcraft. God says this is a choice. Whosoever will, let him come. It's got to be your free will decision. You have to voluntarily bring your will under the government of Jesus Christ. It has to be your choice. It can't be something that God imposes on you. You know why? Because what did we just see with this last election? And we'll probably see in future ones. That any oppressed group is a revolution waiting to happen. Anybody who feels like that their rights, that their beliefs, that their thoughts are being oppressed is a revolution waiting to happen. You can only impose your will on people so long, whether you use law, government, bullying, whatever we do, for so long before they want to get you back. They're always going to be looking for their opportunity to strike. Any silent group, any oppressed group is always going to be looking for their moment to revolt. And so God doesn't want a revolution in heaven. He wants compliance. He wants obedience. He wants ultimately agreement. Agreement. Because people who agree will not revolt. People who agree, okay, won't have issues. That's why in heaven, he's not going to need a law. Because laws are made for unrighteous people and criminals. But when you have people who agree and are of the same mind, you don't need to have that. Because we're all on the same page about what type of society needs to exist. So you have to voluntarily bring your will under the Lord Jesus Christ because you trust him, because you love him, but most of all, because you agree. Because you can, how many of y'all can say you've been married to people you love and you don't agree with them? Praise the Lord, church. That's why sometimes the enemies can be of your own household. My God, I can't even agree. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So then Jesus said what? Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came to distinguish himself from every other authority, power, everything claiming to be God. He let you know in this passage, I'm here to distinguish myself. And that everything came that has come before me was a thief and a robber. And how do we know? Because Jesus was the only person who was able to create life. And that's why he said everything here can steal and kill and destroy, but they can't bring you back. They can't restore. He says what makes him the Most High God is that he can do what? According to Deuteronomy, I can kill and make alive. Now, the enemy can take you out, but he can't bring you back. John 14:6, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, we see that, like, okay, as a form of religion, right? You just got to become a Christian, and then you can get to the Father. But if you look at the context of the conversation they have right then and there, Jesus is trying to tell them they go away. And they said, but if you're going away, how can we find you later? You cannot even find heaven except through Jesus Christ. He said if you're not born again, the kingdom won't even be apparent to you. You can't even see it. It doesn't exist. We yell at atheists all the time for not believing in God, but for to them, the kingdom does not, it genuinely does not exist. God is not real to them because he's not made himself known. He hasn't revealed it. He hasn't opened any doors. He hasn't given them any access. He hasn't opened up any regions of their mind to help them understand who he is or where he is. He says you can't even see the kingdom unless you're born again. It could be right there. God is the only person I know that can hide redemption, salvation, and riches and treasures right there in plain sight and nobody see it. That's the best security system you can have. And to get somebody to reject what you offer. So they ain't gonna mess with it. He said he purposely made the gospel sound foolish to this world so that only the wise and the astute and the elect and the chosen would hear it. That's like hiding your $10 million diamond in a rock that people just want to kick around. Nobody sees it for what it is, except for him who's been given eyes, whose eyes, I should say, as the scripture was saying, have been enlightened. There have been people who have been able to see, in fact, what they say about Paradise Island in the Bahamas. It was what? A trash heap. It was a garbage site. And that man saw paradise where everybody else saw trash. And that's how it is with the kingdom. He calls it the pearl of great price. He said, come on, this man went out and bought the field. I went out and bought this thing because I saw where, and that's how it is with God. Your ability to see paradise where everybody else sees trash. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot come to Father. You cannot come to the Father except through me. Go back to what I said earlier. These other religions' job is to block the way to God. They are built in security. They're called the fake out and the psych out. Does that make sense? It's the fake out and the psych out. Because what do you want to do? If you want to protect some goods, don't they use that? They put a fake one up. They put a pretend one up to hide the real deal because they don't want the real deal to fall in just anybody's hands. Jesus Christ don't want to just be anybody's hands. I know they walk around thinking they're all that in a bag of chips because they're rejecting him. He said, excuse me, I'm too good for you. I don't want to just be in anybody's hands. That's why he's only a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So he gave religion to the masses and reserved himself for those that would press in. So if you just want some tradition, if you want some rituals, okay, if you just want something to do every day, a custom, a practice that makes you feel better, that eases your conscience, that warms your heart, you can go ahead and have a religion. But if you want to be transformed and you want to be a part of the kingdom and you want to be a joint heir and you want to be an offspring of the Godhead and you want to be among the elect, yeah, you're going to have to press past that and allow this man to change you and transform you. That's why we have inner court and outer court and some holy of holies, because God just doesn't want anybody to touch him. Oh, okay. Man. He has separations in the temple. We're going to just keep going. Jesus answered and said to them, Matthew 11:4-6, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. Because Jesus Christ is offensive on purpose. Because he doesn't want just anybody coming. He wants those to come that understand who he is. Oh, come on. That understand his world and respect what he's doing. So Jesus made it difficult. He said, narrow is the way. Come on, hear everything about him said, it's going to be difficult to find me. It's going to be difficult to know me. It's going to be difficult to serve me. It's going to be difficult. It'll be easier to follow the path of destruction. It'll be easier to go to hell than to find the path of God. And he wanted it so on purpose because he only wants those that truly believe. And not truly believe that there is a God, but believe in the way of God. 1 Peter 2:7-9. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and rock of offense. He's here to sift, separate, and sort. He purposely is going to be the rock of offense, the reason why people will be offended at you and him. He came telling you people are going to be mad. Because I'm going to tell you that your deeds are evil. Why? I have to identify what's evil. I have to identify what's good so that I can get the elect, so that the elect know what to follow. Oh. Scripture has been written for our reproof, our correction, our instruction. You have to know what to follow. He says that his sheep know his voice, but you got to know what the voice is saying and what the voice is representing so you know who to follow. God told me that this was going to be that season in the body of Christ where he was going to be raising up voices and powers and anointings of distinction for the sake of the elect. Because there's been so much lying, deceit, delusion, confusion, and so much blessing of what God has cursed, so much worshiping of the profane, so much integration between the holy and the unholy, that he's got to raise up voices of distinction in this season so that the very elect can find their God. He says, my sheep want to know where my voice is. So I've got to raise them up with extraordinary signs and wonders and miracles and signatures of heaven so that they know where to find them. He says, when sin abounds, grace does abound all the more. And so in this season, God, in his grace, is going to raise up those that will let you know where the light is shining. God will always find a way of escape for the righteous. And he's going to give you sounds and he's going to give you voices that are going to take you back to your roots, back to the integrity and the foundation of Christianity that is going to separate this thing for you before the world and before the devil and before those that want to live righteously in God. The righteous have always been given a leader. They always were given a voice. And chaos. When the Hebrews didn't even know if Yahweh even existed or what blessing if Abraham even was, he raised up Moses. Come on in here. Even after Jezebel thought she won and took over the entire government, he raised up Elijah. There will always be John the Baptist. There will always be voices and powers and anointings of distinction in any era where darkness abounds, where darkness is overrunning the planet. He had Noah, one person in eight folk. Come on here. Dark, you can be as dark as Noah's day. That was pretty dark. Overrunning the planet. Devils and aliens overrunning the planet, overpowering the human race. See, we don't. That's the way you say it in a way that we can understand in this generation. But they were overpowering the human race. But God still had Noah, a preacher of righteousness. So God will always create a voice of distinction, a voice of light and truth if you want to stay in God's truth. He said, let he that is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before God. If you don't want to fall, God will always have a leader, a light, okay, come on here, a voice. He will always have a truth in the midst of darkness. There has to be a shepherd for his sheep to follow, and he's going to raise up a lot of that in this season. You're going to watch God do some powerful things because he is ready to galvanize and regather his elect. So, earth, God, here's what God uses as his sifters, sorters, and separators in the planet. Life and death. He says, I set before you today what? Life and death. Choose life. So this becomes his first sifter and separator and sorter in the planet. Those who want to live and those who want to die. There are people who are absolutely in love with the culture of death. He calls them bloodthirsty men. Yeah. There are people who just want to walk around and spill blood, whether it's cutting themselves, whether it's cutting other things, okay? They just need to be in that culture. Whether it's being fascinated with the vampirism, with zombieism, with all of that, you're in love with the culture of death. That's a scepter. That's a sword. That's a separator. That's a sign that heaven is not going to work out for you. Good and evil. Okay? It's not going to be your best place. It ain't going to give you your best life now. Okay? Good and evil. Our job as believers is to be able to separate good from evil. And it's a sifter and a sorter and a separator because there are some people who absolutely can't live in a good environment. They don't like it. When things are at peace, you got to create conflict and chaos and mess and come on here. Live to make war. Live to make war. So come on here. We got good and evil. So while you're being, these are the things that God is using to vet you as a spirit and flesh. He is literally vetting you with these things. He's looking at your conscience. He's looking at your appetites, your desires to see where you fall in this. Light and dark, again, separators. There are people who love darkness. They like to be in environments of darkness. They want to worship at night in the darkness. They want to have secret societies in the darkness. See, all of these are sifters and sorters. He's going through your soul. He's going through your consciousness. He's going through your heart and using these as measurements. The holy and profane. Another sifter, sorter, and separator that God uses on earth. Because, again, this is about sifting, sorting, and separating. We got sheep and goat, wheat and tares. Come on, good and evil. Everything about this is about setting up some sort of dividing line to know what belongs to Jesus Christ and what belongs to the other guys. There is a passage, I don't think we'll get to it tonight, that talks about in Deuteronomy about Adam, the sons of Adam, being divided in the earth, already being separated and sorted and given to certain deities. We'll talk about that at another time. Holy and profane. We see that as a separator and dividing line in the church. There's some people who cannot live without some sort of taste of profanity. They need to have that little bit in there. Okay, they need mixed drinks. They can't just do that purity thing. Now, I got to have a little mixed drink. I got to have something, you know, it's got to come up, put a little bit of that, okay, in there. I need a little shot of that in there. Well, you just have to understand, I mean, after all, God knows we ain't perfect. What he knows is that you're not trying. Okay? He knows that you're not trying. Come on, you know when somebody in your life is trying to work it out with you and when you're not. Come on, those of you guys who are in relationships, you know when the marriage, in your marriage, when your spouse is trying and when you just is done. Is it real? We know the difference. And it could be a friendship, it doesn't have to be that. You know in our relationship, in friendship, when your friend is trying and when it's gone. So that's what God knows, is that you're not trying. Because the challenge, the reason why it's important for you to vet your own appetite is because that is a key indicator of whether or not you're going to be able to live in God's world happily. Will you be happy without those things?
Amen.
Will you be happy without those options? Or will you feel like the oppressed group that's ready to revolt? Lucifer felt like he was being oppressed. Wait a minute, why do we have to do it this way? Why do we have to tithe? Why do we have to go to the sanctuary? Why can't we set up our own trade deals? Why do we have to sit down and do negotiations this way? Why can't we just? I don't think that he thought he was going to be setting up a whole another governmental system, or maybe he did. But you have to ask yourself, would you be happy in God's world and environment? We know that you'll be happy that you were saved. We know that you'll be happy that you were sanctified. We know that you'll be happy that he got you out of trials and tribulations. Okay, he woke you up this morning, got you off your cooling bed. Come on, we know this. It's real. because we want to first be given honor to God and stuff. But understand, you have to say, will I be happy in his world? You know, when Dr. Price said in the marriage for destiny thing that you're marrying somebody's world. In Christianity, you're coming into Christ's world, not just into his healing, not just into his privileges, not just into his benefits, but you're coming into his world. You have to ask yourself, am I going to be happy in his world? Will I be satisfied? Sacred versus secular, believer versus unbeliever, obedience versus the disobedience. These are all sifters. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for obedience. He knows you can't live perfectly before him because you don't know him.
Yeah.
Okay? He says you were once aliens, enemies. And now he's trying to make you friends. In order to make you friends, you've got to get to know him. You've got to understand who he is, what he likes, what he dislikes. So he knows that along the way, you're going to do some things that are going to be a little offensive, which is why he gave us grace. All right? He's gracious to us while we're working out how we want to handle this relationship. So what he's going to be measuring you on when you stand before him is not how many times you got it right, it's how many times you obeyed. Because if you're obedient, it will guarantee you'll probably produce the outcome he's looking for. So cooperation is what you need to pursue. Oh, come on. Righteousness and sin, judgment and redemption. Come on, these are all sifters and sorters. Do you want to be judged with the world? We talked about the difference between condemnation and conviction. The Holy Ghost is here to convict you of your sin. He's here to make you feel convicted, ashamed, sorrowful, so that you will repent and turn, see the person that you are the way he sees you and want to become something else. Condemnation is for those who don't care. They could care less what God thinks. They don't want to change. You don't have to fear condemnation as long as you crave repentance. If you crave repentance, condemnation is not your concern. Paul says you will not be judged with the world. You judge yourself. Hey, I judge my own self. Repentance says that you judge your own self and judge your own behaviors and said they were wrong. You didn't need somebody else. You didn't need the government of God coming in to tell you that. That once the Holy Ghost brought that to your attention, you made a judgment call. Your lifestyle is your judgment call on your own stuff. So when you stand before God in the condition of your soul, you're saying, hey, I already made this judgment call.
Yeah.
You won't have to fear the vain of seek because you agree with Jesus.
Right.
You know what? That was crazy. We all knew, man, that was a time, wasn't it, the Lord? That was a time, boy. There was a time. And now you'll be able to stand up and have a testimony instead of having to worry about being sentenced. Faith and fear, spirit and flesh. This is here to divide the spirit from the flesh. There are some behaviors that are literally bound to the flesh, which is why God tells you to live in the spirit. Spirit versus your soul, another sifter, which is why Paul can say your spirit is willing, but your flesh be weak, because there are times that you know the truth in your spirit, but converting the soul, that's what your earth life is about, converting your soul, getting your soul to conform and become obedient to the things you now understand in God's world or about God's spirit. There are a lot of things that their revelation, some of y'all get a bad revelation by the spirit, and then you fall out in that thing in your flesh.
Yeah.
My God, you know, okay, you get this bad revelation, yeah, because the Lord told me. And when you're under the spirit, God's correction is so sweet. He says, it just bless you. Ooh, that just bless me. Ooh, yes, Lord, I need to get it together. My God, I do. Get back in your flesh. My God, that soul takes over. You out of prayer, and that veil closes, and you back in your soul self. My God, today. Then he's like, well, I know. I don't need nobody to tell me. I don't need nobody to judge me. I know what I need to do. You go with it. You just had this revelation. Because you got to get your soul to be obedient to the truth you know in your spirit. Which is why God says we can be without excuse, because that spirit can tell you, open up that veil and cause you to see the light of his truth. I'm going to, this is Matthew 13. I'm going to talk about this, and then we're going to close out because we'll probably pick up, well, we won't. Because what we're going to do when we get back together is end our chapter 6 with a review. So that's what's going to happen. But Matthew 13, we all are aware of the story of the wheat and the tares, talking about what earth is here to do. The wheat and the tares. He tells you that he sowed while he slept. An enemy came and sowed on top of what he did, okay, producing wheat and producing tares. When his servants came out, they said, hey, we got these little strange things. Let's kill them. You know, that's my version. Let's take them out. Well, whoa, no, we won't. We'll let them grow together. And why is it important that they grow together? Because how many heathenistic folk gave birth to some of the most powerful Christians?
Absolutely. Amen.
My God, if they were wiped out, we wouldn't have ended up with certain people. We were born under, some of us were born under the most horrendous of circumstances and became the biggest treasure and blessing this planet has ever seen. Why? Because God often has to use sin to get righteousness. This is why he said, was Satan meant for evil? We always see that as just a trial in your life. That if Satan meant to, you know, for evil, when he tried to, you know, he stopped my car to keep me from getting this job and this interview. So, you know, but God worked it out. So that's how we see it. But God is talking about the tares, the wheat, that Satan came in and literally tried to destroy his creation with his own DNA. When he meant to turn for evil, when he meant to profane me, when he meant to destroy me, would lift up their hands and praise me and will be a testimony to my generation. When he created, see, when he jumped into Adam's line, he thought he was creating worshipers for himself. He thought he was going to create God haters. He thought he was going to create those that would try to destroy. But God said, the same people that you designed, oh, come on in here, to defame my name, to fix their hands and praise me. So let them grow together. Because out of that, I'm going to get my own generation. Y'all all right? And what does he say? Come on here. He talks about, he explains the parable, and I'll jump to the highlight. He says here that the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. That the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are who? The angels. Just so y'all know that the angels are doing that. Not your evangelist on Sunday. No. Angels are determining where you're going to go. All right? Therefore, as the tares are gathered, he tells you to burn them up. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness and will cast them into the furnace of the fire. Out of what? His kingdom. See, we keep thinking that we're just dealing with that, but we're talking about God says he's going to drive out of his own kingdom. We talk about in my house there are vessels of honor and dishonor, sifting, sorting, separating. Everything in Scripture is talking about the sifting, the sorting, and the separation. Y'all all right? I know we got to get up out of here, but he talks about there being weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So understand, come on in the place, that at the end of the day, God is going to drive out of everything in his own house that's offensive to him. This is a man who whipped people out of the house of God because what they did was offensive to him. That's why I don't argue with people about whether you should be drinking, smoking, fornicating, sleeping around, having a tattoo, okay, lying, stealing, and cheating, and backstabbing. I'm like, come on here. God will drive out of his kingdom what offends him. See, you're coming to a sovereign. You're not coming to a faith. You're not coming to a Bible. You're not coming to a doctrine. You're not coming to an epistle. You're coming to a sovereign. And he will make a sovereign decision if he wants to live with your behaviors forever. So I don't have to argue with you because at the end of the day, all of us will come under. Every thought and action will be taken captive under the Lord Jesus Christ. And his angels, don't think Jesus Christ is going to be sitting there coming at you. The angels, the watchers, the holy ones of creation are going to drive you out like they did Lucifer. If they don't want it, it won't be there. So if there's anything you need to practice, it's not debating how much sin you can engage in and still make it in. You need to be practicing how to surrender and submit to a sovereign. Because, see, we're a democratic society, so we don't know what it means to just say, yes, sir. I live at the pleasure of the king. Oh, come on. We can praise God on that tonight. Yes. We can praise God on that tonight. They said, y'all go, but we have to go because it is Turkey Day tomorrow. I know that some of you guys want to get back to them big ham and them greens and things, but we first had to eat the manna of heaven.
Yeah.
I wanted us to be filled with the manna that will change us and will renew us. And come on here. You cannot serve God in ignorance. and get the best of who he is. You have to be able to serve him in the light of his truth. This should change the way you relate to God, the prayers that you pray, the things that you release, the things that you do, because you know him and you know what he's looking for.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the best of God in the kingdom in a long time because we're not dealing with him as he is. We're not giving him what he prefers. How many of you guys want to continue to shout out your best for somebody that continues to do life the way they want to? You bring them to your house every Thanksgiving, and they come and tear up your house and do what they want to. They're going to reset your table, okay? They're going to tell your guests what to do. Come on, after a while, you're going to find yourself saying what? Okay, see, you're not welcome. And that's how it is with God's presence. You have to entreat him. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Dr. Price preached a message once that changed my life forever, well, many of them. God, praise the Lord. But she said, you have to learn how to love God the way he wants to be loved. And God doesn't want to be loved via a doctrine and an epistle. He wants to be loved by the heart of a person. Oh, come on. The heart of a person. He wants it to be personal, not ritual. And there's some times that you do things with people in your life just because you care about that person. There's no law. Okay? There's no law. Does that make sense? There's no law. God wants his kingdom to be ruled by love, righteousness, holiness, peace, not by commandments and dictates. He calls us a nation of kings and priests for a reason, because he wants us to be self-governing. He wants you to get to a place that you can govern who you are. And that you want to be like your father. You want to replicate him in all that you do. Do you start there? Nobody starts as a hometown hero. What we start is as obedient, just doing what he does. What did Jesus Christ say to us? But I do as my father. I see my father do. And that's the place we're getting to. We're little godlings and kinglings today, priestlings, but ultimately we are to mature and become the measure and the stature of everything that is Jesus Christ. That's why we're on this journey together. And so today, I want to take a moment to invite you to go ahead and sow. But you know me, I don't want you to just sow into, you know, thank you for a great word. Mm-mm. The word is good. I want you to sow into becoming the measure and the stature of Jesus Christ. If you can sow for a car and it show up, why can you not sow for a change in your spirit and it show up? Why could you not sow for a new mind, a renewed mind, and it show up? Why can't you sow for your calling and it show up? We sow into a lot of things in this world that are going to fade away. But I'm inviting you today to sow into the eternal things, the incorruptible things about yourself that can't be taken away, a harvest that will go on exponentially. See, the harvest that you're going to get in this seed that you sow here is going to follow you in heaven. Your car can't follow you to heaven, neither can your house, but a renewed mind, a changed soul, oh, come on in here. That can follow you. So I want you to sow into the incorruptible seed today. www.tallaprice.com. I have some friends out there who are going to post it for me. www.tallaprice.com. Thank you for that. Because I'm partnering with you to become transformed. I'm partnering with you to become changed. I'm partnering with you for all of us to turn into the image and likeness and essence of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going after. And if God can bless my flesh, I know he can renew my spirit. I know he can change my heart. I know that he can pull me into a place of destiny, eternal destiny. I know he can give me eternal life. Oh, come on in the place. Yes, he knows what we have need of in the flesh. But if you're made whole and by the Spirit, trust me, you can do it. What did he say? You will prosper and be in health even as your what? Your soul. So when your soul is not prospering, guess what? You won't even go after the blessings in the natural world that are available to you. A broken soul can't get up and go to work and fight and press and push. So we want to sow and to the health and prosperity of who you are in Christ, and that as you grow up in Christ, you yourself will be able to take on the responsibility of changing your world and changing your life. Yes, Christ in you. Sow into Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's www.tylerprice.com. All right, I have some friends on the line. Thank you, friends, who have been on this journey. Some of the names I see here, y'all have been with me from the beginning. Y'all have been plowing this ground. I'm expecting God to get immeasurable fruit out of your life because you're chasing after him. And you're chasing after the true riches, not just the things that fade, not just the things that are temporary, but the true riches. You're chasing after them. So I want to bless you this Thanksgiving. I want to give you a blessing from heaven as a thank you for being a part of this, for staying on this journey. Praise the Lord. And for something that will abound in your life in 2017. I already want to set the stage for your 2017 to be a prosperous and abundant year in Christ Jesus. A year of growth, a year of increase, a year of expansion, a year of domination. Some of you, it's time for you to take some things by the horn and start dominating, start conquering, and not crying, but conquering. God says no more crying, start conquering. You're wondering why he's not coming in to dry up your tears, because he's ready for you to stand up in the faith and the authority and power he's giving you to be a conqueror. So let 2017 be that year that you start off with conquest, that you start off going after the things that God has given you to do, has promised you. Oh, come on. God says it's time for you to take some things off the shelf and start going to work. There's some of you who need to put some things back on your work table. You done cleaned it off and said, God, I'm done. But God says it's time for you to take some things back. Oh, come on here, back on your work table. He cannot bless you without a conduit, and the greatest conduit he has is you, your obedience, your faith, your commitment. And let 27 be the year that you are dogmatic about getting what God has promised you, standing on that word and being tenacious, in word and in deed, not just in prayer, but in deed. Amen. So we want to set that up, and I want to bless you tonight. God, I thank you for these people. I bless them. I bless each and every person that's on the line today. I'm asking that, God, in this season of thankfulness and gratefulness to you, God, I'm asking that you would overflow in their lives, God, with the spirit of perseverance. God, this season your church needs stamina. It needs perseverance. It needs to be able to get its fight back in a time where the enemy is trying to literally wear us out with trials. Wear us out with confusion. Wear us out with doubt and unbelief. Wear us out with fear. Wear us out, Father God, with all of this distraction and all of these sensual things. God, I thank you, that in this season that you, Father God, would give them the stamina. You would give them the perseverance. You would give them the ability, Father God, to see beyond what's in front of them. They need the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. They need, Father God, the wisdom that is from above that can pierce the veil on every smoke screen, on every oasis, and every lie of the enemy, and every lie of darkness standing in front of them, God. They need to be the sheep now that can hear your voice, God. Elevate your sound in this season. Let their, Father God, be on your vocals of signs of distinction, signs, Father God, that let them know where you are, where heaven is moving, where the heavens are open for them, where, Father God, you're taking your church in the next season. Let them, Father God, see. We remove the blindness, the veil, God, of darkness, this whole campaign against your church, God. We shut it down now in Jesus' name so that your believers can find you again. I clear out the channels of communication between heaven and earth. I right now, Father God, begin to marshal every unclean thing that is sitting over your churches and sitting over the body of Christ that is creating all of this distraction and creating all of this unbelief and that's creating this smoke screen of failure. I have our son that will coast on the body of Christ. God, I thank you right now that you remove that and we clean up the channels. We clean up the gateways. We clean up the portals now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we say, let every unclean thing be removed. And God, rise up in your place and in your seat as Jehovah El Elyon. Be in your place, God. And you, Father God, take command back over your temple. We turn it back over to you, God. We turn over the altar, altars again. We clean off the altars of God, God, that we can receive from you again, that you can pour out your blessings and measure not only your grace, God, but your provisions and your prosperity, God, on your people. We clean it out now. We clean out the sounds. We clean out the channels, the portals, the veils, the realms, God. We begin to purge them clean, God, so that your people, your sheep, your elect can find your sound and can find your voice and follow, Father God, after the way of righteousness and follow, Father God, after the way of power in the name of Jesus Christ, that they will find their identity again, that they will come back into their right mind, that they'll come back into their place, Father God, as the offspring of the Godhead, as joint heirs with you. God, we bring it back in. We bring them back in. We bring them back in. We bring them back in, God. I thank you, God, for reconciliation and alignment. Back with God. Back with your spirit. Back with your power. Back with your truth. Back with your grace. Back with your anointing, God. Back with you, God. We bring it back into alignment today in the name of Jesus Christ, God. God, I thank you that you're going to bring reconciliation in this season, God. First with you, God, and then in homes, then with children, then, Father God, with family members, some people with jobs and employment. You're going to bring this thing back together in the name of Jesus Christ. This Thanksgiving season, this holiday season, as we cross over into another shift with you, another transition era with you, God, I thank you that you will close out the old. Some of you guys need to let some things go, settle some matters, and close out the old. Close out the old, and usher in the new. Yes, and God, just be willing to embrace the new things. Do not keep wanting to get paid from your old, the old era, from your old sacrifices, from those old altars. God says that you will reap in a place that you haven't sown. And you need to come on forward into the new. You're wondering where the blessings are. Where, Father God, are you moving? How can I break through? How can I press beyond? Stop trying to get paid for what was and to trust God to bring your harvest in what now is. He's shifting anointings. He's shifting powers. He's shifting guards. He's shifting authority. He's shifting eras. And you guys need to look for your harvest and reward in the new era. God says, don't count me faithless. That if you sowed in another place and you sowed in another season, that I won't be faithful to reward you in what now is.
Yes.
He is the Lord of the harvest. God says, let some things go. Let the past go. Let those things, holding on to something, holding on to churches and even a thing that you should have let go a long time ago because you're waiting to still get paid from the old. God says it's time to step into it. So, God, I release their ability to let go and move forward. I release it on Lovey Clemens. You already know what you need to do, okay? Michelle Mingo, make the decision. Stop being in the valley of indecision. Make the decision and go with it. Everything's not going to be perfect until you get into obedience. How God will pull it off will manifest itself the moment you make your decision to get into his way. God, I thank you for Janita Collins, for Nima Washington, for Marcia Shannon, God, for Claudette Embry. Yes, Claudette, it's time to shift. It's time to shift. It's time to let go of some things, and it's time to shift, says God. It's time. It is that season for you. God, for Prophet Dave White. God, give him the answers because for him, he wants to move to the next place. He's ready for some things to change in his life, but he doesn't feel like he has sufficient information and instruction on how to do it. He's looking for a game plan and a strategy. He's looking for things to make sense concerning his life and even some options and things that he's facing. He's got a lot of things on his table. He actually needs to get a prophetic advisement to walk through this thing, but God, give him the answers. Open him up and help him to receive the answers he's looking for in Jesus' name, God. For Anita Taylor, God. For Carol Rangel. For Bishop Peterson. For Raymond Reed. God, give Raymond the ability. He's needing something in his employment, God. Give him the ability to know what to go after in this season, that he will suffer no more loss, that he's tried some things again and again. But God, I'm asking that in this season that you would lead him in your path of righteousness. Now slow down, Raymond, and hear. Slow down and hear him. because God's going to work this thing out for you and work out some things in your professional arena and life that have been so frustrating. And so a lot of things that you're, a lot of the reasons you're thinking things went down are not because of that, but God's going to slow you down just a bit so you can hear him and allow him to order your steps into the next place you're going. So I thank you for that, for Linda Mazzulli, for Earlene Robinson. God, I thank you for Earlene. I thank you, God, in this season that you will bring answer prayer her way. She has been interceding and fasting and pushing for certain things, and God, I thank you right now. We push through her breakthroughs. We push through those answers today, God. We push them through. God, we push them through. She needs to know, God, that you're hearing. She needs to know, God, that you're answering what she's been standing for. And she needs a turnaround, and she needs it quickly. So, God, I thank you for moving in her circumstance in Jesus' name. God, for Prophet Domina, for Cassandra Hines, God, for Yolanda Speak Life, for Barbara Davis, and Paula Renna. Paula, don't give up on the Lord. It's a bad season to do that. I know that you're weary and doing well, but don't give up, because in due season, some things are going to shift for you. He's uncloaking you and unmasking you in a season where you have not found favor. You have been like, man, God, does anybody see? Does anybody know? God says he's about to unmask you. He's about to unveil you and give you some favor and some opportunities there to move forward in some things. And for you to heal some things, mend some relationships, your whole life is just going to begin to shift as he begins to unveil you. And people are able to see and hear some things that you've been trying to say and you've been trying to get released and released from. And so just don't give up. Keep pressing in. And this time, just do this and allow God to work this thing out. You can't push this on your own accord. It's got to be something not by power, not by might, but by God's spirit is how he's going to do this for you. But favor in areas in which, significant areas in which you need it, is coming as he unveils and unmasks you and takes that whole spirit off of your life that causes people to overlook and not see and misunderstand and not hear. That's changing for you. So just expect that as God moves forward and to make some things happen in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Be blessed. Enjoy your turkey. Be grateful. Be thankful. Don't be too full to join us for next week's Wednesday Warriors. God bless you. Happy holidays. Yes, I'm good, of course. Thank you, guys, for coming up. All of you here. I bless you, too, in Jesus' name. Yes, I do. I bless you. Prophet Ashley, can you come here for 2 seconds? Let me get your hand. God, I right now, in the name of Jesus, release the financial harvest and breakthrough that should already be flowing in her life. Now, God, there's some benefactors, there's some people in her life that are supposed to be sowing into her. You have told them to sow. Now, I command the harvest. I command obedience now to be that curse in Jesus' name, Christ. You will bless His mercy. I have more authority than Jesus Christ, and the word that you have spoken concerning her, she will not. I shut every mouth, I shut every word, and I overturn it now in Jesus' name, and I switch out the cause of her life. I'm the most son that it is, the guardianship of prosperity. Ain't no way you're going to serve this apostle. You're going to sacrifice her, and you not have a blessing and reward in your own life. I break it now in Jesus' name. No more. Can you give me my purse? No more. If you have money in your wallet today, I want you to sow into this prophet's life. I want you to sow a seed, whatever you have. I don't care what it is, but we're going to sow into her life. Because I'm going to tell you what, there are times that the enemy will try. Let me tell you something. She's been a good soldier. Ain't nobody even knows. Because you don't fuss or fight or complain, but I tell you what, that broke yoke is broken off your life in Jesus' name. Let me see what do I have left in here. Oh, I know what I want to sow. This is just for now, but what I want to sow, I'm going to do it through your PayPal. Huh? Yes, you can also go through her, go through PayPal. What is it? Dr. Ashley, or what is it? Can we go to your site? Okay, so we can go to drashley.com. Yes, drashley.com. Okay, drashley.com, because what I want to sow, I don't have, I thought I had cash on me, but I thought I put it in the bank. What I want to sow. But if God places it on your heart to sow, sow something. Because sometimes, let me tell you something, you can be the difference. God is invisible, but we are here.
Yeah.
We are here in the flesh as conduits. And I'm going to be a conduit that's going to break you through in this lifetime, because that is crazy. That is crazy. You ain't losing nothing. You ain't losing nothing. And I break that off of your life. Trust me, God has given people assignments concerning you. And I break that off of your life, that hard-heartedness or just indifference or just forgetfulness. I mean, for some people, this is hard. Like just human trifling. So we break it today.
Yeah.
You ain't losing. You served and you sowed. So you ain't losing. In Jesus' name, I decree it today. People going to start sowing to you. On Sundays when you preach, I don't care. People going to start sowing to you. But see, that is a parental thing. Haya Basata, that mountain in the spirit, but I break their word because you've got to come on here. Break that word in Jesus' name. You are not going to be the child with just a little porridge, okay, in the corner. All right, you got one thinking you don't get it, it ain't okay, you don't need it, and the other one thinking you don't deserve it. But I tell you what, God is the Lord of the world. But that's done. Now, but remind myself, remind me to not let me go today without throwing that seed. Come on, I know you know, but honey, now you can go over. And you're going to watch out here. I'm going to call you. Just here today, God, multiply it a thousandfold in return. I'm multiplying her on it. A thousandfold as it comes in return. God, I'm saying that you will not even cause people to forget about her in the holidays. I'm saying it for it now. A thousandfold return in Jesus' name. Yes, but this is you. Going down, you can go to train. That's all right. Amen, amen, and amen. Let it be done and let it be sold now. You ain't going to lose. Okay. All right, God is faithful. Don't you love him when he does it like that? Honey, you got to get them things getting prayers in. We couldn't let this day go by. I already know. So I'm going to go and sow my seed because the Bible says you sow to a prophet and you get a prophet's reward. So I'm sowing to a prophet. And I'm going to get a prophet's reward. In Jesus' name. Now, Al, I don't know what you've been asking God for, but he says the answer is yes and you will get a breakthrough. I don't know what you're standing for in your life right now, but he says he's going to get you a breakthrough. just for being faithful. You're going to get a breakthrough and see a real turnaround of some things in your life. I don't know if it was a monetary thing or if it had to do with your job, but let me tell you something. Yes, that's going to break you down. And you're going to have what you asked for. Oh, you can put that in the envelope for her. Okay. Praise Him, church. Thank you all for staying and sowing.
Amen. Lord.
Okay, because we need to sow to the prophet. We can't have the prophet in the book. Okay. That is not God's will. Okay. Now I feel like we can go home.
Now we're going to serve the time of the
Yes. Oh, y'all all right?
Miss Vanessa, be blessed. We'll see you tomorrow on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I think we'll bring tomorrow. Yes, please.
My God, I have two readings today.